Welcome. Good morning. If you have your Bible handy, I hope you do, either in printed form or digital form, I encourage you to open it to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple of verses there. In this message, Jesus forgives our sins. In this new series, Followers of Jesus, Becoming and Being a Christian. The American Civil War was a military conflict between the Union and the Confederate States of America. It was a war that lasted about 4 long years, from April 12, 1861 to May 26, 1865. The Civil War is sometimes called the War Between the States or the War for Southern Independence. While the war took more than 600,000 lives and destroyed property valued at $5 billion. It also brought freedom to some 4 million black slaves. Nearly 2,000 years ago, on a hill outside of the Jewish capital of Jerusalem, another victory was won. The life of one paid for the freedom of millions. Jesus gave his life to set mankind free from slavery to sin. The famous song by Julia Ward Howe, The Battle Hymn of the Republic, draws this analogy for us perfectly when it says, In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free, while God is marching on. Our text deals with the reality that Jesus died for you and me. He died to set us free. If you haven't already, I encourage you to open your Bible with me to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Paul points out things here that every believer has received from God through Jesus. And I want you to notice with me 4 things that Jesus did for you and for me. First, He rescued us. Verse 13, the first part of it. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Delivered is the same word Jesus used in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13 when He said, Deliver us from the evil one. It is also used by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 where it reads, The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. It means to rescue. The Greek word translated deliver means to rescue. It pictures drawing to oneself in the same way that a lifeguard would pull someone who's drowning to himself to rescue him. One hymn expresses it this way, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. The other word in the phrase is power. It refers to tyrannical, lawless power. That's how God's word describes the rule of Satan and his demons over the unsaved of this world. What Paul is making clear is that before a person is saved, he or she is controlled by the devil's power and is walking in disobedience to God's rule. Anyone who does not have Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is a slave to sin. Proverbs 5:22, His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Only in Christ do we have the freedom to make a choice as to whether we will sin. Before we come to Christ, we're slaves to sin, and the worst thing about it is that we don't know it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. Correct those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. People who do not know Jesus cannot escape bondage to sin, no matter how hard they try. But when we turn to him in faith, he breaks the chains of sin and sets us free. He draws us to himself, rescue us from the power of darkness. But not only did he rescue us from slavery to sin, he also reestablished us. Look at the second part of verse 13. And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That word translated conveyed means to be transplanted. To be uprooted from one place and firmly planted or established in another place. He changed our destiny and he changed our citizenship. Continuing for a moment with hymn illustrations, in loving kindness Jesus came, our soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me. With tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me. Jesus didn't rescue me to leave me. He rescued me to place me in his kingdom. Not only to give me liberty, but to give me the opportunity to live in that freedom. Thousands of people each year immigrate to the United States seeking a better life. They didn't simply want to be liberated from the citizenship of their foreign country, of their former country. They want the opportunity to live and enjoy life in this country. Jesus rescued us. He established us in his kingdom. And third, he redeemed us. Look at the first part of verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood. God created us and gave us life, but because of Adam's sin, we're all born with a sin nature. While promising freedom and joy, our sin nature sold us into slavery to sin. And it's a slavery that we are incapable of getting out of. We can't pay the price necessary for freedom. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 make this clear. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. With his blood, Jesus bought us back from slavery and he paid the purchase price that was due. That's what it means to be redeemed. In the ancient world, slavery was an everyday reality. In fact, some of the Christians to whom this letter was written were probably slaves. They understood the concept of being bought and sold. So the idea of being redeemed or bought back from slavery was very applicable to their lives. Black educator and founder of the Tuskegee Institute, Booker T. Washington, in his autobiography, Up From Slavery, he records how he came to understand the freedom granted him under the Emancipation Proclamation. He says, I was born a slave on a plantation in Franklin County, Virginia. I'm not quite sure of the exact place or exact date of my birth, but at any rate, I suspect I must have been born somewhere and at some time. As nearly as I have been able to learn, I was born near a crossroads post office called Hales Ford, and the year was 1858 or 1859. I don't know the month or the day. The earliest impressions I can now recall are of the plantation and the slave quarters, the latter being the part of the plantation where the slaves had their cabins. My life had its beginning during the most miserable, desolate, and discouraging surroundings. He wrote of the moment he learned he was free. The most distinct thing that I now recall in connection with the scene was that some man who seemed to be a stranger, a United States officer, I presume, made a little speech and then read a rather long paper, the Emancipation Proclamation, I think. After the reading, we were told that we were all free and could go when and where we pleased. My mother, who was standing by my side, leaned over and kissed her children while tears of joy ran down her cheeks. She explained to us what it all meant, that this was the day for which she had been so long praying, but fearing that she would never live to see. For some minutes, there was great rejoicing and thanksgiving and wild scenes of ecstasy. Abraham Lincoln, on seeing a slave offered in New Orleans on the slave block, is said to have commented, "There was a rising hatred inside of me against slavery, and I swore if someday I could do something about it, I would do something about it." In the same way, God hated the sin slavery we sold ourselves into, and he was willing to do whatever it took to buy us back, to set us free. He did that when he sent Jesus to the cross. He redeemed us. And fourth, he released us. The second part of verse 14. The forgiveness of sins. When you and I place our trust in Jesus, asking him to forgive us of our sins, do you know what he does? He applies the blood of Jesus to our hearts. The sins that stain and marked us are erased. They're not simply whitewashed over, they are erased. Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Jesus paid the price for my sins. He took upon himself the penalty of my sins. He erased all the charges against me. He set me free by sending my sins away. Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 6 speaks of this. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As the hymn declares, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. How does this impact the way we live? Well, I can live free from the power of sin. I now live in the kingdom of God under His authority. Since He bought me, I am His to do with as He wills. I can now live free from the penalty, the guilt, and the shame of sin. There are many Christians who live defeated lives, burdened down by guilt and shame over long forgiven sins. The devil has disabled them. They don't live in the joy and freedom that is rightly theirs because of Calvary. It's not that they've not been set free. It's that so many Christians have never grown to understand what freedom really is. This morning, as you're living in the joy, in the freedom, and in the power available to you as a Christian, as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Well, let me back up and ask you, are you living in that freedom as a Christian? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you loved us so much, that you didn't want to deal with us according to your wrath, but you chose to show us mercy and give us grace through Jesus Christ, that by His blood our sins were paid for and we were redeemed. Father, I just pray that everyone that's here, everyone that's listening or watching, Father, that you would speak to each heart. And Lord, that we would be affirmed in our relationship with you, or that we would be convicted that we need to know you as our personal Savior and Lord, applying the blood of Jesus Christ to our heart for forgiveness and righteousness. And Father, it's in Jesus' precious name we pray, as you do business with your people. You do business with those who don't know Jesus, that they may become your people in your kingdom. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a great day. Amen. Oh, that's good.